You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Good afternoon. This is Kingdom Recovery, and I was filling in for Luann, but we have two guests today, one special guest. Luann made it back early, so yay, she's with us here. And tell us about some of your adventures in New York.
Yeah, as you were lighting it's so good to be back. So good to be back. Hello, everyone. I'm back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful trip. I just spent a lot of time with my family. I have a grandson now. And it's very exciting. It's a new way of life, a new role that God has put me in to be able to be a blessing, hopefully, to my family. And you know, they're probably listening. And to pray over my family and my grandson. And it's just been really good. It was a great adventure, even though there's always stuff going on, especially with family and animals. Came back to a whole bunch of stuff. But God is so good because he gives me the ability to walk through it all, you know. In peace. I do find myself lately a little bit impatient. So I think that's trying to control situations. I'm feeling a little maybe out of control. But anyway, so I do want to make a couple announcements. You're listening to WCNO 89.9. It's 5 p.m. Do you know where Jesus is? In you. Hello, hello, hello. And you're listening to WCNO. You can call the station if you want some literature from Pastor Tom, who may be on next week or the week after from Treasure Coast Victory Center. And the segment is usually at the King's Table, at King Jesus' table with Pastor Tom. And he might be here next week. But if you would like a book or three, just let us know, 772-221-1100. You can also call me if you have any testimonies, any questions, if you'd like prayer. I can always reach out to James. Deliverance, my number is 631-745-7980. And James has a guest today because I wasn't supposed to be here. So I called him up. I'm like, do you mind if I just sit in? So I'm going to be quiet now. Hey, James, go ahead.
All right. And I have a guest, Tyler Loxton.
Yes.
So Tyler is a fireman, a fire captain, and I had gave some testimony about some people I'd went over and prayed with that had never moved in the gifts. I'd met this guy, and, you know, I think I'm going to go off what I was going to do and just start with you.
That works.
I met him at someone's house, and then he was talking about the Lord, and I think he had been in a Baptist church, right?
Yep.
So he'd never experienced the gifts and so on, and God just gave me and this is a word for everyone. I learned, someone who mentored me taught me to follow that excitement in your spirit, because I'd talk to him and I'd just get this excitement inside. And he wasn't talking about miracles or anything that would naturally excite me, but the whole day I would be excited. And then when I talked to him at like the best church service I had in 10 years, like I'd feel so good all day. I was like, man, what are you going to do? Then he invited me over to his Bible study. I had like 30 people over there.
Yeah.
And then you can pick it up from there when you call me about your dad, granddad.
Yeah, so James came over, and My grandpa had been having some trouble with his leg, with his knee. And my grandpa, he would come and he couldn't really hear anything, but he just liked to be there because, you know, his family was there. So my grandpa's there. He walks in a walker. This is at the, was that the Methodist Church? Was that
the one Dave was at?
Yeah.
Where we Life Center.
The Life Center, that's right. And my grandpa comes in there and he walks in on a walker. He sits in the front row. He can't hear anything I'm saying. And but at the end of the service, I asked James if he would pray for my grandfather because James had been telling me all this stuff. I've never seen anything. So I'm like, well, let's give it a try. You know, if the Lord says that it can be done, let's have James pray for him. So he sits my grandpa down and James gets down on his level and brings his legs up. And one of his legs was quite a bit shorter than the other. And it was pretty cool because it wasn't like this long, drawn-out prayer. James just, you know, said, straighten out in the name of Jesus. And my sister was there. It was really cool. We watched this leg grow out. And I'm shocked, right? But now you think about it, and we're talking about the God that created all of us and everything, and it's really not that big of a deal to him like it was to us. But it was amazing. So he stands him up and he goes, James says, do something you couldn't do before. And he goes, like what? And he goes, well, bend down like in a catcher's position. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not a good idea.
And he's 86.
Yeah, he's 86 years old. And so he goes down into a catcher's position. He starts going up and down in like a squat, and then he starts walking forward, no walker, and it's like, wow, this was.
He bent over, touched the floor.
That's too. Right, he sure did. Pretty amazing. So, there were some other prayers that happened that night, but I just want to go my grandpa Duke, and so we go to breakfast the next day, and it's me and my cousin Fur and Papa Duke went down to Sunrise City Cafe in Fort Pearson. We're looking for my grandpa, and he's like, he calls me on the phone. He's like, I'm down here. I can't find you. And where are you at? He goes, I'm right by the railroad track. And I look back, and he's walking. There's no walker. There's this guy walking towards us, and he's waving his hand back and forth. And he comes up, and I'm, oh, that's Papa Duke. And Fur goes, no way. Where's his walker? What is this guy doing? And but what was amazing was what we didn't pray for and what James didn't pray for. And he comes up, and he goes, Tyler, look, I shaved this morning. I go, yeah, what's the significance about that? He goes, well, I did it with my right hand, and he couldn't lift his hand over his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Full.
He had like a torn rotator or something like that. He goes, look at the move, and he's moving his arm all the way around. Praise God. And then he had this little like black cancerous thing on his ear from the night before, and it's he's got new skin over top of it, and it was just – it's like, and look at my ear. And he goes, that James guy, man, he's awesome.
My God, yeah,
yeah. So, and there was something else I'm trying to think. There was another.
The
neck, that's right. He goes, and look, I can move my neck. He had trouble moving it one way. And he was totally healed. It was just amazing. It was cool. My cousin got to see that. My family got to see that. So,
yeah.
So then go ahead and play it out to the next week, you brought the fireman.
Yeah, so I have a buddy that works with me. His name's Michael, and he got hired at Palm Beach County, and he was leaving our department, and he's coming into work, and he's limping, and he's every day limping. He's like, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to go down there. And well, you know, you can get that healed. He goes, I've tried everything. So I just started talking to him about the Lord, and he ends up getting saved in my office. Well, that.
Amen.
Yeah, it was awesome. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk about a lot. But the next night, I said, come down to my Bible study, because he had been hearing about it a lot, mm-hmm. right? So he comes, and he comes in there with his two daughters. And, I mean, he's limping in there. He could barely move, just barely shuffling his foot. And he sits through the whole service, and then we go into the back meeting room. And we had quite a few people
about
in there.
About
12
or 15 people.
Right, doing and we were gonna do some more prayer, because everybody, you know, they hear about something like that, people start showing up. So
that's God's plan.
It was God's plan. So James sits him down, and same kind of thing. He goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "Ah, my knee," and he goes, "I'm pretty sure it's torn." He goes, "I can't really put any pressure on it," and so James gets down on his level, lifts his legs up. It's shorter than the other leg, and, you know, be healed in Jesus' name. Grow this leg out in Jesus' name. And it just came right out. And everybody in the room got to see it, and including him. And what I like about James, what he does is he has them look at it. You know, y'all watch this happen, because all you have to do is have a little bit of belief and willingness to pray. And anybody out there can do this. I've seen it so many times now, and it's only been, what, not even two years. As many times as I've seen it now, it's been incredible. But, and I feel, you know, the Lord just wants to get a hold of people's hearts. Yeah. And this is the best. This is a really cool way to do it. So he stands him up and he goes, "Well, what do you want to do?" He goes, "I want to go outside and run."
Now, first he said, "I'm healed." And I said, "Yeah." And I started talking. He goes, "Hey, I'm not lying." I'm like,
you said, "I know."
And I told a bunch of testimonies. They said, "Did you think I was lying on all this testimony?" "No, but it don't hurt." And I'm like, "I believe you."
Yeah, that's right. So then he goes, "Well, what do you want to do?" And he goes, "I want to go run." So we go outside, and he has a 6-year-old daughter, and then he has a daughter in high school, and he starts sprinting in the church parking lot back and forth. And,
amen.
And his daughter, 6-year-old daughter, raises her hand, says, "Jesus saved my dad's life." It was the coolest thing. So,
because his back was screwed up too, he couldn't really move.
And now he works for Palm Beach County, and he's doing great, and he hasn't had one problem since. And
then his daughter got healed.
His older daughter had knee issues, and James prayed for her too, and
her knee.
And he got healed right there on the spot, and the Lord was just moving.
Amen.
So. And then the next week.
Yes, the good part starting.
Now everybody's showing up. Now we got a whole group of people. And
you gave the testimony. You had your grandfather give testimony.
I did.
You said anybody wants prayer. Everybody came in the sanctuary.
Right. That's right. And
go ahead.
So my brother-in-law, Tony, he's a really good athlete. Played baseball his entire life. Played college baseball. Played a lot of softball with Tony. And if you're from Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, Vero, you know Tony, and if you played softball. And he hadn't been able to throw a ball in probably a year and a half, 2 years. Really bad elbow pain. He had surgery on his elbow. And he's like, "I want to see if this is real," you know. So he shows up, and James prayed for him. And, man, says, "All right, move your arm around. Tell us how good it feels." And he starts moving it around. He goes, "Okay, that feels different." He goes, "Well, try doing something you ain't done before that you couldn't do in a while." He goes, "I ain't been able to do a push-up in almost 2 years." So he goes, "Well, try that." And he gets down. He starts pumping them out, man. And it's just really cool. And
then he went home.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that, and then we'll come back to that same night. He goes home, and he goes, "I want to see if this is really, you know, real." He goes, "This is a game changer. Like, this is a game changer." So he puts 205 on the bench. He hadn't been able to work out really in the last year and a half, 2 years, and he just starts repping it out, no issues. He hasn't had a problem since. He's playing ball again. He can throw the ball now, no issues, no pain, zero pain. Went from not being functional at all to be able to play the game that he loves. And so it's just cool to watch the Lord get a hold of all of these people's hearts, you know, including my own, because I've always believed in the Lord since I was a young boy. But this last 2 years been incredible. Holy Spirit really showing up and showing out. And so back to that night, my aunt Deborah, she says, "James,"
Tony's eyes.
Oh, first. That's right. Yeah, same night, though.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. Tony's like, "Well, I have trouble seeing. Can we pray for my eyes?" And I'm going to let you tell this part because it's funny when you tell it about the Bible that I use.
He did push-ups. He gets up, "Man, pray for my eyes." And then I pray for his eyes. You know, rebuke the blind spirit. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Keep it quick and simple. I'll explain that in a minute. And then Tyler here hands him this Bible, and it's got this print that's that real, real, real tiny print. And I'm thinking in my head, nobody reads that without glasses. I don't think that Bible's made to read. I didn't know people actually could read that tiny. And he starts reading it.
Yeah,
like, wow, I can't read that.
Crystal clear.
So then this other guy, the one that was healed with your granddad, he says,
"My Uncle Brian."
Yeah. He says, pray for my eyes. I said, no, now you pray for his eyes. And then when he prays, he's...
Now what you're saying, James, is that you told Tony to pray for him, right? And it's like, listen, I can sit here healed. And do this all the time, but if y'all aren't doing it, then, you know.
Yeah. Right,
you can
last
do
thing
this.
He wants me to leave, and then you got to wait on me. I was like, y'all right. can go do this.
Right.
Jesus left so he could live in all of us. Instead of having one body to work with, he can reach a whole earth through millions of bodies.
Amen.
And not only that, but he sent the disciples out as a foreshadow of what we were going
Amen.
To by his
That's
word.
Right. Right.
You know, by his authority and word and power, he gave it to them. And the Holy Spirit wasn't even living in them. But because
right.
Jesus gave it and he was here on earth, the Holy Spirit was with them. They were able
authority.
To do that. So now That's we can right. do even greater things like Jesus was
Amen.
Saying. Praise God.
So then he asked Jesus to take the blind spirit. And if you don't know about deliverance, we have authority. You'll not see a demon coming out asking the Lord to take it out because he gave that authority to us. It's delegated to the church, last chapter 2 or 3 in Ephesians. And I know that in my head as he's talking, I'm like, oh. And then he's begging God to take the blind spirit. And I've never seen a begging or a long prayer work in 38 years of doing
Amen.
This. And but... I'm thinking in my head, Lord, you healed, you gave the guy new skin on his ear. You made his neck work. I didn't pray for. You made his shoulder work. You're just showing up because you want to show these guys this is real. Mm-hmm. So maybe you'll just do it anyway. If you don't, I'll teach him how to do it, but we'll see. That's what's going on in my head. I'm
right.
talking to God. And then he says, hands in the Bible, and he can't, no different. And I was like, well, good, because I was wanting to teach him. I didn't want him, then it don't work later. So then I said, look, we have authority over blind spirits. You just have to tell it to come out, just like Jesus did, just like the disciples did. Don't ask him to take it out. That's not what he does now. The Holy Spirit's here in us. They said, and the long prayers never work. This is a done deal. It was done 2,000 years ago. We're standing on what he's already given us. The Bible is a will and testament to us. When you read the Bible, read it as what we've been given,
your inheritance.
Not trying to learn.
Yeah.
This is what you've been given. It's like the owner's manual to your car. It doesn't make your car do that. Your car already does that. You just need to know how to operate it.
Right.
So that's what the Bible does for us, what we've already been given. So anyway, and I didn't go that far with him, but I just said, just keep it simple. Long prayers don't work, and don't beg. This is a done deal. You're just exercising authority. I said, matter of fact, just look in his eyes. He looks in his eyes and says, say, blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. He's like, and they said he wouldn't even pray over a meal. I didn't know him, so
yeah,
I didn't realize.
Would, he's never prayed, like,
They
all.
Couldn't believe he,
not,
like, I can't believe he got him
people.
To pray.
Well,
but
once
it,
you've seen that, once he felt his arm get changed like that,
yeah.
Now he can read, you know.
Yeah.
Got a hold of his heart.
So then he says, I say, blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. He says, blind spirit, come out in Jesus' name. I said, eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Eyes be healed in Jesus' name. And then he hands him the Bible, and he can read it.
Yeah,
and then
amazing.
Deborah Thompson's like, pray for my eyes. I have floaters, and pray for my hips. And so I had someone else pray for her. And I usually do that. If I speak in a church, I'll get a few healed, helps their faith, and then get them to see they can do it.
Yeah, and so
and
then James was there all looking at me because I'm dying laughing. I'm laughing because my aunt's over there after they prayed for her, and she's doing bicycle kicks on the, chair in the church. And, you know, we still were all praying, and she's over there doing
yeah,
you know, jumping jacks
front.
And stuff, and I'm just, I couldn't stop laughing. Yeah.
And then, and then she went up and sat up front, and you couldn't see her because the way she's sitting in the pew, but you see her legs going up.
Oh, yeah.
And we keep praying. We look up. She's going like 30 minutes up there.
Yeah.
And we'd
yeah,
be praying for
workout.
People. I'd have y'all praying, and then we'd look back, be laughing.
Yeah.
And so then your sister,
yes.
You tell that story because, you see, I didn't realize it. I just want to say I taught a little bit the week before when the other guy got healed on spiritual roots of disease, and I explained high blood pressure, I'll just say that part, I explained as fear of future, and I explained the sympathetic nervous system releasing ACTH in your bloodstream, and it makes your blood vessels shrink, can't push the blood through the blood vessel, and the Bible says take no thought for tomorrow, and you go to the doctor and they give you a beta blocker. Well, I didn't realize it, I didn't think about it. I'm talking to firemen, they all know everything I say is exactly what the Merck manual says. Right. So they are tracking as they're listening. And like, because they knew it was fear, but they didn't know it was fear of future.
Yeah, it makes sense. If a tiger walks in here, our normal response would be to be in fear. That causes a sympathetic response. You release epinephrine, norepinephrine, and what happens? Vasoconstriction, your blood pressure reads high because it is high, but it's high because of the constriction. Right. So the Lord says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of love and power. Amen. And of a sound mind. And I was teaching my sister about this, and so she started praying on her own.
Because she had real bad high blood pressure.
She had real bad high blood, diagnosed blood pressure, took medication for her. She's young.
And it was high on the medication?
High on the medication. So she comes back the next week, and she tells you.
She says, after a couple more people were healed, she says, I'm Tyler's sister, and I've always had real high blood pressure, and he told me what you were sharing with him last week. And I know when it came in, I was pregnant, and the doctor said something, and that's when it started, and I repented. My blood pressure was perfect, but mm-hmm. I'm nauseous every day.
Right.
And then your other sister says, she's a nurse.
She's a nurse practitioner.
Yeah. She says, are you on your medication? She said, yeah, but I had high blood pressure on the medication, and now it's perfect, but I am still taking it. She said, well, the side effects of taking high blood pressure when you don't have it is nauseousness. So then she went off it. She's been off it for a year and Amen. A half, almost 2 years.
Yep.
Perfect blood
She's
pressure.
Free. She's been free.
mm-hmm.
Those that he sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. So anyway, then from that point on, I went there about 6 months, and I made sure I never prayed for anyone. I would teach them what to do or what to say with certain diseases or different things, tell them some roots. I always check for unforgiveness. If they're not getting healed, that's a common block. And the thing about dealing with the root is the anointing. I gave the testimony about my mom. She had trigger finger in her thumb. I commanded it out. Her thumb freed up. 6 days later, locked back up. I said, you got to have someone you're not forgiven. She thought she knew who it was. She forgave. I cast it out again. Took twice as long. Comes out. Thumb frees up. 6 days later, locks back up. I said, Mom, somebody not forgiven. She says, I don't know who it could be. So I just prayed for God to show her. I left her thumb locked up. And 2 months later, she had this dream, something my dad did 30 years earlier. She never forgave him for. And she didn't think about it. It's just she never forgave him. And in the dream, she walked in, and she didn't tell me what it was, but he was doing whatever it was. She punched him in the dream, knocks him down, kicks him. She's kicking him and wakes up. And sitting there like 4 o'clock in the morning, she says, oh, Lord, I forgive him for that. And her thumb freed up and was free for 19 years till she died.
Amen.
So the point is, my faith could drive it out, but if there's a door, a reason it's there,
right?
Like in arthritis and stuff, you run into that a lot. People are like, I got healed in this meeting. I don't know why God gave me this back. God's not giving it back. So that's why I like teaching the root is to get them to stay free with disease versus injuries, totally different to injury.
And we've seen a lot of people freed
so,
from forgiveness. We've watched a lot of stuff get healed after they forgave. And you want to talk a little bit about the prayer you do with everybody for that and have God show them, because
it's
good for all
prayer.
Of us to do. I don't know.
Yeah. And we'll just pray that prayer right now. Self-forgiveness. This mm-hmm. A lot of people get healed on this, like he's saying at his thing there, a lot got healed. And, just get close to the mic. So let's pray this prayer. It's just forgiving ourselves. I'll just lead you in it and just think about it as you pray it. Lord Jesus, if I could be perfect, you wouldn't have had to die for me.
But you did die for me.
Because I can't be perfect. So I release myself. To make mistakes. Without condemning myself. I forgive myself. For every past wrong. I've ever done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And just forgive yourself. Let it go. I was so critical hard on myself. And I learned that at Henry Wright's. It's funny because I got free of a lot of that and I went back. And the end of the thing, they do a one-on-one with you. Like, well, it's like 10 of you, but they go through the group. And the guy's talking to me. He's like, that's self-bitterness. I'm like, no, I really feel like I've, okay. And he just, He was good because he just starts talking. He's asking me questions. And then I say something. He goes, that's self-bitterness again. I was like, no, I really think, okay. He's talking. And then after a few minutes, he goes, that's self-bitterness again, but you don't want to go there. I said, no, wait. Three times, I'm sure it's there. I just don't see it. And then on the way home, I asked the Lord to show me. And he showed me how with other people, if they did some kind of sin or fell, I was so merciful and like, oh, God forgives you. Don't let that condemnation come on. Da, da, da. But myself, I held myself to some higher level that I should not ever make a screw up. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way with all you've done for me. So I had to get over that.
And that
maybe
guilt,
pride isn't that.
Guilt and condemnation and shame, that's not from the Lord.
Mm-mm.
Right. So
right. And I always say, the easiest way to think about it, you're driving down the road. Conviction comes. You turn around. You do a U-turn. Now, anything that comes to you about whatever that was, you confess and stop. From that point on is condemnation. God convicts to get you to turn. The second you come back in his arms, it's in the sea of forgetfulness. You don't even see it no more. But the enemy will keep reminding you. And this is very common in drug problems. One thing I work in the very beginning, if someone does show up my shop, whatever, if I start working with someone, they say, look, it's like a boxing match. The boxer throws the jab, but the jab's to set the right hand up to knock you down. I said, the jab is the drugs. The right hand is the condemnation you're staying in afterwards, right? Because you're not getting free in the spirit, because you're staying in condemnation for 2 months and falling again, because you're never walking in any freedom. If you forgive yourself immediately, walk and seek God and seek him to speak to you and spend that time with him so you can grow in that, or you're never going to get anywhere. So I do try to do that.
Amen. And sometimes, even if it's hard to believe that you're forgiving yourself, just keep thanking God for forgiving you. You know, thank you, right, Father, for forgiving me. I forgive myself. As an act of your will, you can do that. Even if you're still wavering, it's like the non-smoker. You know, he's smoking, but he says, thank you for making me a non-smoker. Eventually, you'll be transformed. The renewing of the mind happens that way. You're programming your new man identity, actually, your old man identity, you're programming to unbelieve, to forget. How's this? Unteach. God's trying to unteach you things that you got taught when you were born.
And I think, too, like if people really could see themselves the way God sees them,
mm-hmm,
and that you can do that, you get in the Word and see what he says about you. Because when you see the way he sees you, it'd be easy to forgive yourself. And if you see the way he sees you, you could see others the way he sees them. And it just, the body of Christ, that's where the movement happens. He can't move without the body. So we have to be, you know,
in line.
That's
right. With him.
That's right.
With his thoughts.
Amen.
Yep. And his will. That's why.
Amen.
Step three is so important.
Step three is important. And also, I just brought this up to James earlier, but we're talking about gifts, and there's a verse in there that says, you know, you could speak in tongues, but without love, it's just a clanging gong.
Mm-hmm.
So the gifts of the Spirit are amazing, but without love,
you know, right,
profits you nothing, it says.
That's right.
Right. It's so, the same thing with the extended praying. You just, after a while, it's just words being put out there, but yeah, there's nothing behind it, and that God's looking at the heart. And we could say these elegant words. He even told the Pharisees, you right, dress beautiful, you speak beautiful,
that's
but
right,
there's nothing.
That's right. And I think that's why James, knowing him, just the love that comes off of him, the way he sees people, he truly does see them the way the Lord sees them. And I believe that's why the Lord has used them the way he has. And it's pretty cool to see. And that's why those healings have happened that way. They're coming from the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, so they prayed for about, we were praying about 6 months, but like 12 different people, got seen without their glasses. And,
yep,
there was stuff, there was a big, it's funny is I would keep praying a lot. I do that a lot. Like it'll be a little better, whether it's vision, just like Jesus did the same thing with the vision, but, or pain. Well, it's half there. I'll pray again. And then their faith's with you. When you're praying again, they see, oh, wow, this guy isn't crazy. This is working. Oh, come on. But anyway, And then underneath the verse across the back of the church, it's got a, it's like a quarter, no, a third of the size of the verse is, it says the scripture number and name. So
John 10,
there's 10. One person you're praying for and y'all are going on. I'm going, this ain't going to work. It's like the 13th, 14th time. I'm going, oh gosh, that's way more than I'd go, you know.
We kept going.
She reads it.
Do you remember who that was?
I'm like, oh, thank God. And then he goes, all right, now read the
do you remember who that?
The verse that John. And I'm going, oh, no, she's never going to read that. And you pray like five more times and she read it. I'm like, holy cow.
We were believing good that day.
Yeah.
Do you remember who that was?
No.
It was the firefighter who had the hurt leg's wife came a couple weeks later.
Oh, yeah. The one that healed the second time. He brought his wife.
Yep.
For her eyes to be prayed for. That was so cool. So then an interesting thing happened was just a fun talk. The a guy was deaf in his ear since he's three, injured or something. He's like 40 years old. He's like, pray for my ear. And one of the people says, James, pray for him. And I haven't prayed for anybody like 4 or 5 months because I want them doing it. And I'll help them, you know. And then I put my hand on him and the Lord says, don't pray for him. I've never had that happen. So I am like going to immediate extreme fear. Like, oh my God, how do I tell somebody again? What do you mean? Don't pray for him. So commonly I'll do a thing asking God to show us who we need to forgive, especially if someone isn't healed. And I'll just, and God shows up because God wants you healed. Mm-hmm. He don't remind you who you need to forgive because you just get mad when he brings it to your mind. But when you're doing it to forgive, he'll show you all kinds of people every time. I mean, I do it over whole churches if I'm teaching it in a church.
It's really good.
And he just shows a lot of people. And so I said, let's pray and ask God who you need to forgive just so I can talk to God. So then I do that and say, Lord, what do you mean? What do I say? Why can't I pray for this guy? And I'm freaking out. And then the Lord just says, I just don't want you to pray for him. They don't think they can do a deaf ear. I want one of them to pray. I'm like, oh. So I look around. I'm like, who's the least likely? I always go for that so everybody else won't think, well, of course, he could do it, but I can't do it. So the youngest guy there, this guy, the one that was yelling, God is real, God is real,
yeah, Hunter,
the first time when the leg grew out.
That, yeah, that's
with
right.
Your granddad.
That's right.
He's back in the back. I said, hey, Hunter, come over here. Put your hand on there. Say, deaf spirit, come out. Jesus' name. Deaf spirit, come out in Jesus' name. Ear be healed in Jesus' name. Ear be healed in Jesus' name. Guy could hear perfect.
Amen.
After 37 years of not hearing.
Amazing.
And the youngest guy there did it. So anyway, then I started teaching what I've been teaching here. I did one night he let me teach, and I was teaching on hearing God, which is what I'm trying to get into today. I might not. But I was saying how he'll speak through thoughts. And that's like a low level. Low level can be very important. Higher level means higher level revelation. Like if an angel appears to talk to you, that's very high revelation. Audible voice is high. So thoughts is about the lowest. So it's commonly can be wrong, but it can be very right. So you kind of got to step forward in it. So I told him how the week before I was praying for somebody and asked her who she needed to forgive. And I said, who's Susan?
Yeah.
Because that came to my head. And then I had a vision of a lady I know named Susan Skinner, who's nothing to do with this. But when I had the vision, I knew it was the thought was right because I wasn't sure on the thought. I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, boy, was it ever
so
right.
I said, who's Susan? She says, my sister-in-law. But then, Tyler, you want me to tell you? Because he calls me afterwards. You want to tell me what happened?
You go ahead.
So ends up. There's someone that everyone he worked with that was there, including Tyler says, including me, had a problem with someone at work named Susan. And he said, when you said who's Susan, he said everybody's mouth and I spoke to
like yeah, there's quite a few people that Susan
so then everybody
hit a
was forgiving her, I'm sure. And so anyway, that's kind of funny. So then I was teaching that, and I just told how I got that. Because when you get worse, people think you're really getting something powerful, and usually it's not. Usually it's a very vague, and the enemy would make you afraid to say it. That's probably wrong. It's okay if it's wrong. I said the way the name came, and then Tyler says, man, I get thoughts of people's names in my head all the time when you're doing that with people.
Yeah.
So then you're at work and you tell that or no?
Which one?
The first time when your mom was there and you said, and the way you said it, you said, "I don't know any," whatever the guy's name was, you're praying for the guy's back.
And I you can't said recall his mouth. Which one it is.
Okay, you just said, he was looking down and he said, you told me, you said, I don't know any, and you said whatever name, we'll say Jeff, I don't remember his name, said, man, I don't know anyone named Jeff. That's a really humble way to do it. I'm like, that's better than the way I'm doing it.
Right.
Because like, then you're not making a, and she said, you should have seen his face. And he said,
"Yeah,
that's me." But she said, man, when you said that, he's like, ah. And so then he forgave Jeff and he got healed. And you said you had 51 people's legs grow out?
At least. Now, at least. It's been
a
lot.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
It's been a lot.
So
anybody,
and he was someone
pain.
That didn't even know,
right? That's right.
And just teaching him, anyone listening to me can do this. And like I told him and the group, I said, I'll tell you how much faith it takes to get someone healed. It takes enough faith to push through the fear to ask him if you can pray. If you can do that, you have enough faith to do it.
Yep, that's right. That's what I wanted to say. Came up in my head a little bit ago, but that's right. I remember you saying that. If you just by you being willing to pray, that's faith. For you to lay hands on somebody and pray, that you're showing the faith right there.
Yeah,
and God does it all anyway. We don't do any of it.
Amen. Because the scripture where Jesus says, "Are you willing?"
Right. That's right.
You know, and that's it. Because he says, because someone goes to Jesus and says, "Are you willing to do this?" And Jesus says, "Are you willing?"
Yep.
Because it takes our willingness for him to be able to manifest himself through us.
That's right. And when you get these little thoughts,
mm-hmm.
Like James was saying, I get stuff all the time where it'd be like, just go check on Miss Karen. Miss Karen's lady in my office. I think she's listening right now. And I'll just get that sometimes and I'll go in there and the Lord just shows up and it's really cool. Just acting in obedience when those things come up. It might not be something, but it seems like most of the time it ends up being something. And you know, they need a word or they give me a word. Sometimes
that's
it's
right.
The opposite. Sometimes it's for me and I don't even realize mm-hmm. it, you know. So.
Yeah, and it's so, a lot of it's so vague. I was driving, going over to Joy's Ice Cream. I'm pulling through the parking lot. I hope I didn't tell this last week. If I did, I will. Anyway.
You did.
Did I?
I was listening.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just seen this woman walking and she looked very distraught and like, she kind of looked like if someone was homeless and she's got this stuff she's thrown on trying to go in the gym and her face was just, distraught. And I'm driving down to Joy's Ice Cream and I'm like, yeah, she's really going through something. Yeah, she's trying to pull herself out of something. And I'm just talking to myself, I thought, and I'm going on this whole conversation and I'm like, oh my God, this is you, isn't it? Because I get in fear. I'm like, oh no, I got to go tell her. So I go down there and I find her. She turns around and she don't look nothing like what I saw her. She looks so professional. Then I get really nervous. Like, I'm like, I just feel like you're just in a really difficult thing. You went through something really hard. You're trying to pull yourself out of it. And, you know, she's just staring at me like she's mad. And I'm like, hey, I could be wrong. I started to say I've been wrong before. I'm like, man, I can't think of it. Might have been the Holy Spirit because I can't remember ever being wrong, which I don't even probably if I'm just saying. So I was like, well, maybe I haven't. Maybe I shouldn't. And she goes, are you a psychic? Then I knew I had her. And the Lord, man, it's just like the Lord, same thing when I guaranteeing that tropical storm to stop the rain. I had to catch that because I had to stop because it just started to come out of me because I don't claim anything to be no kind of prophet, nothing. I'm just the son of God. But man, it just started to come out. No, I'm a prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was like, no. And I caught myself. And I said, no, the Lord just was showing me that because he wants you to reach to him and that he will bring you out of this, but he wants you to seek him in it. And
amen.
He's going to be the one to bring you out of this. So then I'm like, huh. Then I'm at the gas station right quickly after that. And I look over and I discern things through discerning spirits. I can see, and I look at a guy, and he's just insecure, and I could see it all over them. And these are both African Americans. They're usually more open than, I'm just being honest, the white people usually aren't as open. They got the pride thing and don't want to admit nothing, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I look over there and I'm thinking, man, I'm having a feeling he's been picked on and stuff. And I'm thinking, and then I'm going, oh, no, this is you again. I said, the only way I'm doing this is if I finish pumping my gas first. And then he finishes, and I'm like, ah. And I walk over there and make him roll the window down. I felt so stupid. I'm like, I just felt like that you're very sensitive, and that a lot of people constantly hurt you and don't keep their word to you, and you don't know why people treat you the way they do. And I just went on. I said, and God put this heart in you. I don't remember what all I said, but he created you this way. And he's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. And then I go over to pump the gas. He calls me back. I just got to thank you again. You don't know what you just did for me. And I'm like, I almost didn't do it.
Yeah.
So we never know. A little word can be very important to somebody else.
And that's why we have to, that's being discerning. And that's a gift. You know, and we all have it. If you listen and you know his word, you know when he's talking to you. And it is about that. And it's better to do it anyway and miss rather than not shoot at all.
I agree 100%. I think...
Because it helps you practice, you know, walking in the spirit.
Absolutely.
You know?
And if it matches up with the word, if it lines up with the word, then it's probably from him. If you think about it, it's like, am I doing this out of love? Yeah, I'm doing this out of love. Well, I'm going to go do it. And once you do it once or twice, it's like just becomes natural.
Mm-hmm.
I always get slammed.
You do?
With fear, like extreme. I have more fear than when I had cancer and they said, talking like, I ain't making it 5 years. I had less fear than that.
Really?
Just a word to go say.
So maybe it was just like that for me.
Yeah, because that's probably how he uses it.
Well, I think the enemy's trying to stop me. There's a lot of resistance.
Oh, I'm sure.
But there's also, you know, just in everyday life, let's just talk about that. You know, how to practice walking in the spirit with God. You know, sometimes, you know, just thoughts like maybe you should go, okay. So I'll just use an example. I ordered a blazer and it came. I didn't get it. It said it got delivered. And so I called the company. I said, I never got it. It says it delivered. So they looked. They said, we don't know. It does say it was delivered. Haven't received it. So they gave me a refund. And now I'm at my daughter's house. So the addresses are different. So we're like, okay, well, you know, it didn't go to this house. Didn't go. Give me a refund. I get it a couple of days later. So now I have a free blazer. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, after a couple of days, it's like, no. I flew back here and I went to the store. I have this blazer that I got. You know, and I had to tell them because it was the conversation. I think it's a conversation me having with myself, but it's a conversation having with God.
Amen.
God is talking to you. Everyone who's listening, he's talking to you all day. If you shut the world down and you shut your will down, you know, like, wait a minute, let me just listen to what's right. Like you were saying, what does the word say about this? If I bring it to the word, it'll correct itself.
That's right.
You know? Like, that's what it says. Take captive the thought. Bring it to the word.
Right.
And it's the same thing with our thoughts. We think, oh, you know, it's just normal. You're always talking to, I always say, before I knew Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came in me. Who was I talking to? I was totally crazy.
Well, the world's so busy, right? And it's to take that little bit of time and just seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah, all things will be added.
Bring it to the obedience. Bring that thought to the obedience to God's word, and he will clear it up for you, what he's trying to say.
That's right.
Because our thoughts want to try to twist it.
Oh, yeah. Yep, our flesh is good at that.
You know? So.
Praise God.
Yeah. And that's just a simple sample of what, and I'm sure there's so many listeners saying, yeah, I've done that. I've had a thought about somebody, like you were sharing. Sometimes somebody... I'm putting on makeup and somebody will come to my head. Either I'll say a prayer for them or I'll do a call. Something is, why is that person coming up? You know, so God is trying to get our attention all the time.
I can't tell you how many times I have a name come up in my head and it's like, oh, and then I just go about what I'm doing and it comes back and I'm like, I better call that person.
Yeah.
And you call him and then Holy Spirit shows up. He's not giving you those thoughts for no reason.
Right, right.
And if it ain't you, he'll use somebody else to do what he needs to get done.
Yeah.
But when you walk in obedience, you just get to see this whole different life the Lord has for you.
Yeah.
He's got a much bigger plan than you can even see for you.
And our pastor got filled with the Spirit in a Catholic church. Yeah. And then God started giving him some words once in a while. So he's so excited he'd speak the word out, you know. And then he's in a
big one.
It was, yeah, what do you call it? The
revival.
Mass.
Oh, yeah, church. So yeah, church mass.
So, yeah. So he's in one, and then the Lord says, take your shoes off and throw them up front. And he's like, what? And then he's sitting there worshiping. And then he says it again. He's like, I'm not throwing my shoes up there. Three times, he said, and he won't do it. And then also when someone else took their shoes off and threw them up front, some lady went up screaming. She was going to kill herself that day. And she said, God, if you're real, make someone take their shoes off and but throw
that
them
was,
up front.
I think that was at like Copeland, one of his services. Yeah. Not a Catholic thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They already threw him out of there. Yeah. He started healing, yeah. You know, praying on yeah. people. They were yeah. like, what? And it was their, when they have the, what is it? The charismatic?
Yeah. They
had the Catholic church.
Yeah, charismatic.
And they still had a hard time with him praying over people.
Right.
And so, I mean, God shows up everywhere. Like you were even saying, the way of saying, he shows up everywhere. He'll show up.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who are getting filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and casting demons out and healing sick and the Catholic renewal. And it was a little weird because, like, there's a church by me and they're like, yeah, they cast demons out over on that one.
Amen.
On St. Mark's, on da da da. So if you went in there, you're like, hey, what about being filled with the Spirit? Oh, you need to go to our other church. We don't do that in this one. I'm like, that's a little strange.
Yeah, well, one of the guys that you listen to on Casting Out Demons is a Catholic guy that does an amazing job.
Yeah.
That one guy, Carlos, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, I've listened to him a couple times.
The number one guy, he's the one that went to the guys that did that movie Nefarious.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And because Nefarious had more pushback from the enemy. Every time they'd go to film that, they go, cameras, action, they had the strongest wind that city in Oklahoma had ever had.
Right.
In history, would come over the building where they couldn't hear. And the second they say cut, the wind would stop.
And then one time the film didn't take, right?
And they kept doing that. And then he had the Catholic priest come in and did an interview. And then the priest tells the story how he didn't turn his phone back on. I didn't realize it. And he had a message. He turns it on. First message is, can you come back? Nothing worked. And then the second message, the lights are now flickering. Can you come back? And the third message, there's voices coming out of the couch.
Right.
And this is a guy that did God's Not Dead.
Right.
He did a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. But the pushback on this, 9 of the 11 people, I think it was, that were in the film totaled their cars out within 8 days.
Right.
But none of them were hurt.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, crazy pushback. And because there's so much truth in that film.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the priest come in and he did a prayer. They do a different prayer. I just tell demons to get out of the house, whatever. But they do a different prayer for a building than they do for people. So he did this prayer. And he said, when that priest, the voices are going, the lights are flickering. And he said, when the priest said, in the holy and terrifying name of Jesus, the second he said, Jesus, the lights were straight, the voices stopped, and we never had another camera problem the rest of the film.
Right.
So that priest has some awesome testimonies.
Yeah.
He made that podcast called, it's got over 1 million views. People that are subscribed, The Exorcist Files. He tells different case histories of exorcism he did. He's been doing it like 35 years. He's the number one for the Catholic Church. But he's right on. He's talked forgiveness,
right.
The occult blocks, all that stuff. You know, there was one little thing I heard I didn't necessarily agree with, but it was after I heard about 100 videos. The Lord made sure I didn't hear that one first.
Right.
Just...
And there aren't many Catholic priests that they allow to do exorcism. See, the Catholic Church has restrictions, and they do documentation a lot more than the Christian Church. You know, we have lots of people doing things like this all the time, but they have to be chosen by the hierarchies to be able to do it. We have been chosen by Jesus.
Right.
So they get much more restrictions. So everything they have, the few people that they allow to do them, document. So he has a lot more documentations to be able to be found
mm-hmm.
than we you know, listen, when I first became a Christian, not shortly afterwards, I ran into a demon that was scaling the wall at my son's hockey game, and I didn't even know what it was. I was trying to think of every scary movie I ever saw. I'm like, get out! Because as soon as I figured it out, because I walked by her, and she looked at me, she goes, you! And I'm like, me? I'll fight you right now. I'm like, I was ready to go down. And she's like, you bit me. You made that snake bit. And I'm thinking, who is this lady? Who are you? And then it started to click. Like, oh, my God. This is a demon. And then all the witnesses in the parking lot, she was like water profusely coming at her. I'm not holding her. I'm saying, say you love Jesus. I didn't know what to say. Right. But God will use you when he knows your heart. I was like, as soon as I figured it out, I'm like, oh, my God. She's being possessed. Like, oh, I didn't even know. And then afterwards, it was like, as soon as she got the words out, it was hard. She was shaking. She's like, I can't. She was in and out. And she kept saying, I don't know what's happening. I'm like, just say you love Jesus. Because I was thinking of The Exorcism. I was thinking of The Omen. I'm thinking of all these movies. Like, what did they do there?
Because she was there. She didn't
She finally goes, I love Jesus. And it was like silence.
Instantly stop. Yeah.
And she looked at me. She goes, what just happened? I said, I don't know. I think you had a demon. She introduced me to her whole family. They all thanked me. Because she must have been really
going through it.
Difficult. Because they were like, who is this person? Like, so nice she was. She's like, this is the lady that helped me. I was like, and then the kids, because they all knew me, Miss Lou. The mothers were walking out because the game was over, and they were going to the car, and they'll go, what's happening to that lady? What is Miss Lou doing? So the mother goes, don't worry, she's got it. Miss Lou, if anybody's got it, Miss Lou, because I used to do the laps of prayers for the games, and I would always say, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, all this. And so they're like, the God lady got it.
There's a lot of power in that name. There's a lot of power in that name.
Amen. Uh-huh.
So, I'm just going to read two scriptures.
Yep.
So we are on a Christian show.
Amen.
This is what I was going to start with, but anyway, and I've read them every week, but 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul says to the Corinthian church, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rely or stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And then 1 Corinthians 4:19. This is what the Lord has me share everywhere for the last 2 or 3 years. But I will come to you shortly, and will, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Amen.
And the thing that separates us from all the other religions is the miracles. We serve the living God that Amen. Speaks back,
mm-hmm. Amen.
That does things. And even when Muslims see it, there's a guy that's led to a million Muslims come to the Lord. I mean, high Sharia law people, guy with 60 mosques, but he listens. The guy's incredible. He's so good. He's like, you got to stay in the moment. Just one thing, because these two terrorists picked him up. He goes to Egypt, all these, God sends him over. And they're taking him to kill him. They said, we want to get you a ride home. And he's like, I don't. He asked the Lord. The Lord said, get in. He's like, are you serious? He knew they were going to try. He says, which way do you live? That way. Well, they start driving towards the desert the other way. And then he said, if I would have got thinking how they're going to kill me and all this stuff, I'd have never heard the Lord. Right. You have to stay Amen. In the moment. You Amen. Have to stay with God all the time. Right. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And then the Lord started giving things to say. And started getting to them, and they're like, the guy stops the car and goes, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take you home. And he knew, they already knew where he lived. They all know, because he's the bad guy. When you show up, you're the only American out there. He says, and we'll come back tomorrow, and I'm going to pick you and your wife up, and you both can come with me, and then you can tell me about this. Talking about the Lord, you know. And so takes him, drops him off. Honey, these guys are going to come tomorrow, these terrorists. They were taking me out to kill me. And they want you to come.
They're coming to pick us up.
and I'm going, and it's up to you if you want to go. So she goes, and they end up coming to the Lord, man.
Amen.
And the whole awesome. Group, Amen. The whole.
And that's the whole point.
And he's
point,
got tons
James.
Of them stories.
Stay in the now. God is, this is the now testament. Holy Spirit is right now.
That's right. We don't have tomorrow's not promised, right? We got the breath in our lungs now.
It's the now testament. There's a book being written about you.
And our circumstances are just that, right? Like your circumstances doesn't change who you are in Christ and what he put you on this earth to do.
I'm going to read this real quick. Little thing. Believe God's word. Do what the Bible says to do. Don't copy anyone else. You're God's partner. We're co-laborers with God. We're God's business partner. Only think victory when you pray. What if? Don't go there. Jesus don't think like that. When you read the Bible, put yourself in the Bible. He went about healing all that were sick. James went about healing all that was sick. Luann went about healing.
Amen.
Put your name in there. Because we do the same things he did. Just be like Jesus. There is no B team. We're all he's got. And he's relying on us. He can't do it without us. Because that's the way he set it up. He needs us to pray to see people healed. He needs us to pray to give words to people. That's the way he set it up. Because he loves us and he wants conversation with us. And he wants fellowship with us. We don't realize what power is in us. It's dominion now. It's wonderful to worship, but it's really neat to show forth the glory. That's it. Just some little tidbits I wrote that help.
That's good.
It's all for his glory, right?
Yeah. Yep. And anyone that don't know the Lord, we're going to give you a chance to ask him into your heart. This is your way in. This doesn't just change everything instantly, but that's when stuff starts changing, because you're inviting him in to come in and change us, because we need him to change us. We can't do it ourselves. So if you just, the Bible says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus died and rose the third day, you shall be saved. So just repeat after me if you want to ask the Lord. Lord Jesus, I know you died for my sins.
I know you died for my sins.
And I know you rose the third day.
And I know you rose the third day.
I ask you to come into my heart.
I ask you to come into my heart.
Be Lord of my life.
Be Lord of my life.
And save me.
And save me.
I surrender.
I surrender.
Totally to you.
Totally to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to WCNO.
Yes.
You can call Luann if need be. Yep. What's your number?
631-745-7980. And you're listening to WCNO, like James said. This is Kingdom Recovery, and we'll be on next week at 5 again, live. And we're back finishing up step 3, which is made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God. Shalom, shalom. We agape you.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love. There's torn up pages in this book, words that tell me I'm no good. Chapters that defined me for so long. But the hands of grace and endless love dusted off and picked me up. Told my heart that hope is never gone. God is in this storm. God is in this story.
watching you wonder.